Let the Lord have His way in your life every day. There is rest, there is peace when the Lord has His way. Put your life in His hand, rest secured in His land. Oh, let Christ, oh, let Christ be your life. Let the Lord have His way in your life every day. There is rest, there is peace when the Lord has His way. Put your life in His hand, rest secured in His land. Let the Lord have His way. Oh, let Christ be your life. He will end all your strife. There is rest, there is peace, as His life flows out through you. In this vessel of clay, He doth now hopeful sway. Oh, let Christ, oh, let Christ be your life. Now sing it. Let the Lord have His way in your life every day. There is rest, there is peace. Christ be your life. He will end all your strife. There is rest, there is peace, as His light flows out through you. In this vessel I play, He does now hopeful sway. Oh, let Christ, oh, let Christ be your life. Oh, let Christ, oh, let Christ be your life. The Spirit is moving. It's one of the candidates off in the key of C.
Okay.
Praise God. We're thankful for God bringing us back to the dining table. We have been in the wedding feast for a long time.
Hallelujah.
And some of us have not eaten our fill yet. But we need to be filled with the fullness of God. God bless you, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. And we cannot be satisfied.
No.
We cannot be satisfied. And I just want more and more and more.
Amen.
Until the glory start bursting through me. Hallelujah. 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 Sure. We want to turn to Revelation. We were carrying on there with the understanding, talking about the overcomers, what we need to overcome. We must now overcome the ancestral spirits that have been wreaking havoc in the world. These ancestral spirits are spirits of war. They like to fight people, like to put down everybody. And they have been working through us.
Yes.
This is the problem.
Yes.
I don't want a demon to use my body.
Amen.
My
Amen.
Body must be consecrated to God and to the use of God alone.
Yes.
I do not want it to be shared
Amen.
With God. And God said, "And there will be new heavens
mm-hmm.
and new earth
mm-hmm.
we are in." You notice I pointed to this piece of clay. New earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Hallelujah. That means the present heaven and the present earth is now mixed. Righteousness, a little righteousness sometimes, and a little sin sometimes. And when we do not sin, we make mistakes. You know there is sin and there is mistakes. Now, he that is born of God doth not commit sin. Come again, brethren. All of us here that are born of God, we do not have the capacity to commit sin. we fall into sin.
Yeah.
You see the difference?
Yeah, right.
In the Greek, the word commit is an active verb. That means you have to do it.
Right.
It's something you have to do. It's an active verb.
Right.
It's not passive. It doesn't happen to you. When a man commits sin, he deliberately does it.
Right. Yes. Right.
Now, the Son of God, who has the Holy Ghost in him, cannot commit sin by mistake. When he commits sin, he's not born of God. Let's clear that point before we go into the demon activity here. Hallelujah. Yeshua. Let's go back to John. This brother here who used to lie on the bosom of Jesus. He says some things here that are very, very, very deep. Yes, sir. And it's the first John, right?
Yeah.
And it's 3. Let's start at the beginning. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God.
Amen.
Huh? We should be called. We weren't sons of God.
Right.
You see what I mean? It's something peculiar. You are born again, and you say you are born of God. That means your daddy is now God. Yet other scriptures speak of being adopted. How could you be a born child in the family and then they have to adopt you? Do you know what he's talking about? When you are born again, your soul is born again. Your soul was a dead soul. It came alive. New birth. New soul. Amen. But you still have a dead thing there. What is that? The body. And the body cannot be a son of God unless it is adopted into the family of God. So he said the adoption to it. The redemption of the body.
Yes. Yes.
Get me? Now, the body has to be redeemed out of its carnal realm.
Right.
And the body can be so redeemed that it will obey the spirit. Your body does not have to be in obedience to carnal, natural laws.
Amen.
Your body has the power to escape out of the natural law and operate by a spiritual law.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
So then, that the brother was there and he had a baptism. But he was late for an appointment. And after the baptism, the body was picked up and landed. Now, you might not understand it. They didn't see him flying like Superman going to his next appointment. I said, there he goes. How did he get there? How did he get there? How did he get there? He was translated into spirit.
Amen.
And spirit is where you want to be when you talk, when you think.
Yes, amen.
Bam! He was there. He didn't move from point A to point B.
That's right.
Hallelujah. He was just lifted up.
Yes.
Now, the brethren talk about rapture.
Yeah.
And they do not understand the meaning of rapture.
Right, exactly.
The word rapture is an old English word coming from the word rap. Rapt means that you are in ecstasy.
Right.
Lifted up in an ecstatic state. Hallelujah. Of being. Now when God is speaking about rapturing you or lifting you up, he is talking about taking you out of the carnal
right.
into the spiritual.
Yeah, yeah. Amen.
And so the man came out of the carnal and appeared in the spiritual. out of the carnal into the spiritual and appeared in the carnal.
Right.
In a different spot.
That's right.
My God. Amen. Amen. Now, if we understand that, we can understand John here now. He said, no, you are sons of God. You are called the sons of God. What manner of love that he would do this to us, to call us the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Now, you do not expect the world to understand you. They will not understand you because they did not understand Jesus Christ. And you are about to walk in miracle. Mm-hmm. I didn't say you are about to do miracles. Mm-hmm. I said you are about to walk in miracle. Because God said that at a certain time, and I will give power to my two witnesses. In other words, I translate for you. I will give power to the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And said, no man will be able to hurt them.
Amen.
A man comes to arrest you and he cuts on fire. Yes, the Bible said the fire will burn them.
Amen.
They will not be able to touch you for 2.5 years.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, he let you down back into the natural and they take you. Because they couldn't kill Jesus unless Jesus had submitted himself to the dead. When they went to arrest him, amen. You ever wondered why they didn't arrest the disciples? You ever wondered why Peter took a sword and chopped a man's ear off and why they didn't sword him and there were all the sword men there? And the soldiers, they were ready to kill. They were bloodthirsty people. Why didn't they kill Peter? They couldn't touch him. Jesus said, let these go. And the moment he called the name of God, oh God, bless us. I hear words, you know, God sent Moses to talk to Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. And he said to God, who must I tell Moses sent me? Mm-hmm. And God said, tell Moses, I am. I am.
Amen.
Tell Moses, Haya, Haya. And so he went and he told Moses that. And Moses went and told Pharaoh that. And Pharaoh didn't know what to do. But when Jesus said, I am he, the moment he said the word, I am, they fell backwards. Amen. Yeah, they fell backwards. And I think that ear he put on to Malchus, that Malchus was never the same again. But Malchus would hear God speaking through his ear. And I guarantee Malchus became one of the disciples. There's no way that God can put an ear on you and it doesn't hear right. Malchus had a problem. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. None of you know what you are. You go, you cry down yourself. You live in dirt, you look down instead of looking up. You don't know who you are. You don't know what you are. We really don't know what we are. We have never seen a son of God. No. We have heard about it. We have never seen one. I give you an idea. John was in the spirit on the Lord's day. There's no way John could have seen a son of God unless he was in the spirit. That is, you are lifted up in a higher dimension, a higher realm, a greater frequency. You see, the realms of God are on different frequencies. And this here, my hand wouldn't go through it. But if I were in another realm from this, my hand would just go right through it. Amen. Because it's just as simple as ABC. Some electrician must be here. Understand what I'm talking about. Here is a frequency coming into this room. There are a lot of frequencies coming into this room. And we don't feel it. It doesn't touch us. It doesn't bother us. High voltage frequencies like television and so on. So, but you get a television set and put it there and switch it on. And all of a sudden, you hear all, you see all kind of things going on right in the same room where we are. But because God built us on another frequency, praise God, hallelujah, we don't hear those sounds. Hallelujah. They don't bother us. You see what I mean? And so the different realms of God are different frequencies upon which he built different things. And have you ever considered how many frequencies there are? I am in a marketplace, and almost every second man has a little thing to his ears. Talking to me. No, these are the days when men talk to themselves. I hear this man talking. Oh, he's got a cell phone. And a dozen people around him have cell phones, and each man is talking, and none of those cell phones cross. Rarely they do it. Cross each other, because the frequencies are so many, multitudinous. So many that they can find frequencies to put every man on earth on, and still there are frequencies to spare. So therefore, we don't know what we are. Amen? We don't know what we are. But we know. Now this is what we know. That when Jesus shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. He's in this room right now. We can't see him. He works in us. He works through us. We can't see him. So therefore, instead of saying the coming of Jesus, we should say the appearing of Jesus. For one day he's going to appear to us. And why do you think he's going to appear to us? Because we will be lifted up and we'll be like him. We'll be lifted up to where he is, so he will see him. It's not so simple. It is so simple. It's so simple. If you people here, anybody in here, gets up into that realm, all of a sudden you'd see some things in this room that the rest of us are dumped. We don't see, and you'd be seeing all these things, and we'd be seeing spirits. You know, that's the point. God bless us that sometimes we are sleeping, and because we are sleeping, and this area is asleep. This mind that we have that is functioning on a low level, low byte, low frequency. This mind of us at a low frequency that to think something you have to think, you know. When you are about to think, right? Does the spirit finish? They see what you think already before you get consciousness of it. And that is the reason why when a prince of devils come to you, he can read much deeper into you than the average spirit. The average spirit is on a lower level than the princes of devils. I remember one night I was in a vision. God let me see the devil and what he was doing. He sent a spirit to disturb me. And when I saw the spirit coming, because I had seen him from the time he was sent, I just shouted him out and tore him to pieces. And he held his belly like a person got hit. Do you know that the radiation of the glory of God shuts out from you like bullet? You talk about Star Wars. Somebody had a little idea of what's going on. Yeah. Your gun can be sharp. If you are sharp in the spirit, if you submit to God, you become so sharp that a spirit come to you and you speak a word and it flashes, hit him, pow. I have seen them grab, clutch themselves and run and ball. Fire! Fire! They get burned by the glory of God that comes out of you. Amen. And that's why some people can't stand shouting. You know, and no, I don't preach shouting, but I shout. Amen. Amen. Because shouting is supposed to come from an energy of God that threw you on and shot forth. And when you shout, a demon spirit that is there got hit. Bam! If we are a people walking in the spirit, spirits will stay outside and wait for us. They can't come into a room where we gather together in God. Amen. Because the glory of God is shining out from all of you. Amen. Like how I'm disturbing your mind now with godly things. Amen. There is an energy that is in this room that they can't stand. And they get blasted. And they keep outside. You see. So, praise be to God. This is where we are. I'm just explaining the different realms of God. Now, we are the sons of God. And it doesn't yet appear. All the glory is in the clouds. And there's some dark clouds covering God. We are the clouds. Don't you understand? We are the clouds that are clothed in God. You have God in you and nobody sees it. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Nobody sees it. And you let it loose. Oh, you need to sometimes just contemplate. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord God. Let the anointing loose out of me tonight. That your people may be blessed tonight. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, I'll do anything for you. I will give you myself completely now, Lord God. If you just let the glory come forth. Oh, man. Oh, when you get there, the glory will shot forth. Amen. Amen. And some, as I say, the spirits can't stand you. And I remember going into a meeting with one of your great prophets. One of your great prophets, you're eating up his material. You are following him. The man is working in the occult. He doesn't know God. But he is one of the great prophets that preach into America and to the world. I go to Africa and they're asking me about this great prophet, if I know him. Amen. My experience with the prophet, I'll tell you. We went to a meeting in Minneapolis. And this man was at the meeting. I had never met him before. Don't know him from Adam. Amen. I was asked to speak. And the moment I got up to speak, it began to hurt the man. And the man was beside himself with madness by the time I was to finish. I took 10-20 minutes. And by the time I sat down, he was up like a bolt. And he began to curse me. And he said, this man, it's from nowhere. He had never seen me in his life. This man, and he began to tell them how I am no good. Oh, I just got some old time doctrines. And I got some old preaching. He doesn't know where I got it from. And I come and pawning it off to them. And so that they must not listen to me. And I look at the men. And all the men fell for him. All the men fell for him beside the man I was with, a young man who was there, and another young man who was a pastor of a church in Kansas City. Those three men never quite fall. But it went so bad that one of the men got up and started cursing me also. So they're cursing me, and I'm sitting down contemplating them. I am learning who they are. They don't realize that nobody curse me unless he's of the devil.
Yeah.
You cannot hit me unless you're of the devil.
Right.
Especially when you don't know me.
Right.
Amen. And I realized that my spirit was disturbing them. Hallelujah. So the Lord said, don't move, don't leave. Because they were cursing me to get me to leave. And I sat down there. And one man said, well, this is amazing. That Brother Dusil has not left. Now I sat down there and then. And two of the prophets, another two great prophets, one is a man I'm acquainted with, the other I don't know, but I hear about him because he's so mighty over the whole United States. Two of them send a message, written message, to say, if any man comes to this meeting and says that we are sorry we can't be there, but if any man comes to the meeting and says Jesus Christ will soon be here, know that this man, this word is not of God. Jesus Christ is not coming within the next 30 and more years. They also proved to me that they were not hearing from God. You understand? And so the different frequency on which you, the frequency on which you operate is evident in the spirit world. If an occult man comes in here, he couldn't stand his ground. The power of God would upset him. We have been to Africa. We have seen sorcerers come to my meeting to disturb the meeting. And at the end of the meeting, the man said, what happened? The meeting is over. They said, yes, the meeting is over. He said, oh Lord, the man put me to sleep. He was sitting down there. He slept the whole meeting. Never heard one word. So know what we are, the sons of God. You do not know what you are. But you should go just thank God for what you are.
Amen.
To believe that you are sons of God. For you know not what you are. But when Jesus appears, in other words, anytime you see Jesus, you start seeing yourself.
Amen. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus is going to be your mirror. Anytime you start seeing Jesus, you start seeing yourself. He said, when he shall appear, you shall be like him. Amen. I knew nothing. I was a sinner all my life. And it wasn't much of the life. I was a young man then. And Jesus Christ came to me. And when Jesus Christ took away from me the spirit of war, fighting, he took away my gun that was on the bed before me. He took away everything. I said, you must be God. No man take my gun unless he's God. And I said, because you are God, I want you to come to my room every day and to teach me. And he said, yes, he would. And he began to come to my room and to teach me. And everything began to leave me. All the human qualities, the desire for food left. Amen. For a whole year, I don't know what I ate. Amen. And I wasn't starving. I was really being blessed by Jesus Christ. But I realize, I begin to see myself. I see all that I was. And oh, when I have this deep chagrin and regret, God would comfort me. Amen. God would comfort me and deliver me. Tell me that is where you have been delivered from. A deep, deep pit that was almost bottomless. He showed me I was delivered out of that pit. Amen. And I begin to thank him. I begin to praise him. But because I saw Jesus, I saw myself. And I knew how much nothing I was. And so when I see men strutting around, and saying they are great men, and the things they are saying and they are doing, and I'm sorry for them. They have never seen themselves. They have never seen Jesus. If you see Jesus, you feel lower than a dog. You just feel to bore down into the earth, because it is something way above you that you are looking at. Now, when he shall appear, therefore, ye shall be like him. And every man that had this hope in him purified himself, even as Jesus Christ is pure. Do you understand it? Now, if you have the hope of glory, the hope of that glory breaking out through you like it break through Jesus Christ, if you have that hope of glory, you will purify yourself. Amen. You will not allow a lie to live in your life.
Amen.
You will not allow anything to come across you. Every time you find yourself in a sin, you will go to God and say, I hate it. Amen. I don't want it. Take it away.
Amen.
See, because the Son of God does not sin. Let's go on. Whatsoever am whosoever, come, whosoever committeth sin, transgresseth also the law, for the sin is the transgression of the law. You know, sin is described in two ways in the Bible. Sin is transgression of the law, and sin is the absence of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So, alright, brother. You said, I'm going to be a saint. I'm going to be the purest saint in the world. And you take some sleeping pill, and you go to bed. You don't sin. You don't sin. But tell me, how much righteousness have you done? You see, so for one person, sin is the transgression of the law. And if they don't transgress the law, then they are without sin. But righteousness is to do the will of God.
Right.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you see, you need to be righteous in doing the will of God, and not just be righteous in not committing sin.
Amen.
Now, and ye know that he, Jesus, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth, your TH, abideth, watch it. It's a tense that is not really expressed in English. Abide, that means those who did abide, now abide, and will abide.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Those who abide that in him is, I'm sorry, those who abide in him sinneth not. And we are talking about an active verb, meaning to say, does not actively commit sin. You cannot commit sin if you are born of God.
Right.
Now, this doesn't say you can't fall into sin.
Right.
Whosoever sinneth, that means willfully does sin, hath not seen him, neither hath he known him. And that's what I mentioned to you there. If you sin because you are not born again. If you are born again, you cannot sin. Now, whatever questions we're going to ask, let us ask it in the future, when we come to the end. Let's go back to Revelation. We were at Revelation what? Now, the last one we took was Revelation 12 and 11, which says, the blood, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Two weapons that will overcome the devil.
Amen.
Where if you use the word of your testimony, which sometimes is not strong enough if you're dealing with a prince of devils, it might not be strong enough. You have to pull out your atomic bomb and blast him with the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no power on earth that has more energy and more life than the blood of Jesus Christ, because the blood of Jesus Christ increase in power according to the power that you are facing. There is no power. Remember, the life of Almighty God is in the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is a spiritual substance that is here in this room. Amen. And he said you can get it by calling upon the name of the Lord. In other words, you have to reach up to pull it down to you, because you are in a lower realm than this blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So then, the blood of Jesus Christ is a weapon, and it is the biggest weapon in our arsenal, and no power can withstand it. Before I leave it, because we had a good talk about the blood in the last session, those who weren't here, you get the tips, because I believe the Spirit of God was leading that talk. Now, the what's that?
Amazing.
Yes, thank you, brother. I feel it myself. You see, because, you know, I don't plan to tell you these things. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I'm going. Mm-hmm. I just relax myself in the Lord, and I get up, and the Lord starts speaking to me. Mm-hmm. So I really don't know exactly what's coming forth. And some of the phrases that I bring forth, I never known them before. But this is a gift of the Spirit of God to me, to the church.
Right.
You understand?
Amen.
It's a gift of, sometimes I'm dog tired. And when I'm tired, I do better. Because I just relax. I don't know what to say. And the Spirit of God moves you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, so, as I was saying, the blood of Jesus Christ is this powerful weapon that God has given us to not only to defend ourselves, but to defend the church. Because God is creating an army to defend the church.
Right.
When Gideon's army went out, there were like 33,000, something like that. And God said, no, you're too many. I can't use so many of you. And what I can tell you, that God couldn't use the whole church, because there would be too many mistakes, too many eclipses. He wants an elite group who will give themselves wholly to God, 100% totally. And then God will begin to use this group. And this group is called the First Fruits Company. This group is ordained to resurrect first before everybody else.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. They are ordained of God to resurrect first. That means to resurrect you must die. Amen. So that means there are some of us that they're going to cut off our heads. Now, the cut off head business, you notice how popular it's getting now. They're cutting off heads. Amen. Hallelujah. Now they're going to cut off heads until they cut off the wrong people's heads. And when they cut off those people's heads, they're going to get up and pick up their heads and say, hey. And that's going to blow them out of the water, because that's the message that God is bringing to mankind. That I am God, and I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus Christ told them, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. But they had to prove it. They killed him. Amen. And they made sure he was dead. And they put a stamp on the tomb, Caesar's, you know, seal upon the tomb to stop him from rising again. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And so when he rose again, it was well known to Caesar and to all those people what really happened. Amen. Because he resurrected, hallelujah, in spite of all they did. Amen. And when he came out of that tomb, his clothes were still folded neatly there. He didn't need clothes, because the clothes that he had was in a low frequency area.
Yeah.
it couldn't fit him anymore. Hallelujah. If he put it on, it would drop off. Because it was in a low frequency, he was in a higher frequency.
Amen.
And he was clothed. In that frequency, men are clothed. Spirits are clothed. The scriptures speak of naked spirits. You know what he meant by naked spirits? A soul that is naked means to say that he is in hell. Paul said that lest you be naked, God will lend you some clothes until you pick up your body. He said he will lend you a body until you pick up yours. So the saints who are in the heavenlies, they have been loaned a spiritual body, and there is another class of them there who have their own natural body that has been lifted up. Are you understanding, brethren? That would be another class. It's another class of Christians, of sons of God. So you have one class in heaven with their own bodies. You have another class that have some loaned out bodies. You know? And then you have another class of angels that never had a body, can't use a body, doesn't need a body.
Amen.
Amen. So, therefore, when the fallen angels fell, they didn't need a body. The worst thing you could do to a fallen angel is give him a body. Amen. And Satan is playing around with a body. He appeared to many people in a body. And that is going to be his downfall. Because we're going to catch him in that body and rebuke him and send him down to the pit. Chain him and send him down to the pit. You see, because anytime they... Oh Lord, why am I saying all these things? Maybe it's too much. Hallelujah. A spirit that approaches you and you see him, he's in a weak condition. He has brought himself down to a frequency that you can see him. And if you rebuke him in that area, you hit him very hard. Do you understand me? All right, let's go back to the subject. We're talking about overcoming. I mean, any questions that I've stirred up? I have a way of stirring up some very weird questions. Amen. Let's get back to the subject of overcoming. What do I have to overcome? I must overcome my father and my mother and my ancestors. I must overcome them. Now, why do I have to overcome them? Because they have endowed me in my very blood. They have planted the image of themselves. And the man of sin is within me. I was born in sin. I was shaped in iniquity. And what shape did I have? I had the shape of my ancestors. And the Adamic nature is part of my being. I have a desire that longs for things of the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Men long for women. Women long for men. Amen. And it is an Adamic nature that needs to be overcome. You say, brother, says, what are you saying?
Absolutely.
You're going bad now, huh? Listen. God wants a man to overcome the nature in him.
Right.
To such a point that it only works when he turns it on.
Amen.
Brother. I'm saying it now. Huh? It must only work when you turn it on. And you're supposed to be able to turn it off. I tell you why. We are coming to a time when they will arrest you, brother. And they'll put you in prison for the gospel. And they will send a woman and lock her up in there with you, a naked woman. They did that over in Russia. Oh. Yes, they did that over in Russia, and many of the brothers fell. Mm-hmm. Amen. Many of the brothers fell. Mm-hmm. Amen. And as a young man, God began to teach me. And he said, we have children here, but they can't understand. He said, a naked woman is nothing more than a naked dog, or a pig, or something else. And he got me turned off.
Thank you.
You hear me, sir? He got me turned off. And as I have told the brethren every time I talk this, one night I'm in my bed sleeping, not in my bed, of course. I, who, you know, traveling all around, sleep everywhere, go sleep in somebody's house. And I wake up, I felt like something was choking me. And I got out of my deep sleep, dog tired. Come out of my sleep. I realized that I'm being choked. I'm being choked. And that a heavy weight is on top of me. And when I come to myself, a woman was on top of me. Yes, a naked woman was on top of me. And the first emotion that I had was anger. The first emotion that I had was anger. The devil thinks nothing of me. He thinks I'm a piece of trash that he can tempt with a naked woman. And I was angry. And, you know, I got her off of me. That cost me a church. Oh, yeah. She was so upset at being refused that she went to the church and she made havoc. And let me tell you something about prophecy. She was one of the best prophets, the most accurate prophetess that I had ever seen. Someone would come through the door and she would be able to tell what was in that person's heart, what they were doing, and so on, so, and the whole church depended on her. God wanted to stop that. Amen. And when she did that, of course nobody knew. I didn't tell anybody. Though her brother was lying down on a bed beside me, and I suspected he might have seen his naked sister coming out of the room. But I don't know. I, up to this moment, I didn't know and I didn't ask. You see, but what happened is that she continued to see visions. Well, watch out, brethren. She continued to see visions. She continued to have dreams. But the visions and the dreams were all now against somebody. First of all, she saw me sitting naked in the congregation. She didn't come and speak that to me. She whispered it around. So one day she came into the church and I looked at her and I couldn't see her. A big blob of darkness was over her face. I looked at another sister, another blob of darkness over her. I knew that she had told the other sister. And they went on until they wrecked the whole church. They went outside and they told the sinners. And so the testimony, the sinners used to come in and be blessed no more. And they wrecked the church. And she felt that she was doing righteousness. And I went to God. And I am in total distress. I went to God and prayed, Lord God, save her. Save her husband, our boyfriend, save them. And God showed me a scene. I saw a judge. I don't know if they do it this way, but in the British court, the judge, when he's going to make a death sentence, he pick up a black cap and put it on. And he pick up a black pen and he write the death sentence. And he said, you shall be hanged by your neck until you are dead, dead, dead. Bam, breaks the pen. dump it.
What?
That is it. That's the scene I see. Every time I close my eyes, you shall be hung by your neck until you are dead, dead, dead. I said, oh God, have mercy upon them. Mm-hmm. God said, don't pray for them again. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think happened? Oh, it was just terrible. Amen. But I'm saying all that to say that a man and a woman must get to the place where Jesus Christ so pervade your being that you cannot be tempted. Your desires are gone. You do not want anything that is not of God. The only things that you will want is something that is of God. I remember when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. As a young man, I am kneeling down and the Spirit of God came upon me and I began to speak in tongues. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea that what tongues was. I didn't know idea that God does that. I didn't know have any idea that Jesus Christ wanted to come into me. Amen. But so therefore, I am there praying and I start to talk this language. I am frightened now. Oh my God, what is this? I am gone loco. Amen. My God, the wheels are turning backwards. Help me, Lord. You know, next thing happened in the fear and the fright, my back is turned towards the door, yet I could see a man coming through the door. And the man came through the door, he had black, white, darkness, light. Dark, you know, like a prison suit from top to bottom. That's the way he came in. He stood over me. When he stood over me, my whole body began to get out of control. You know, my knees start hitting the floor and I couldn't control my limbs. It was the most awful feeling that I could ever have. Then I saw a vision. And the vision was of a big tent. And around the tent, many cars were parked. And he said, if you will accept this that I brought for you, you will make you the greatest healer in the world. In that word. I'm feeling bad. I said, wait a minute. I said, I just finished speaking to Jesus. And it was the most glorious feeling that I ever had. Now you come. And I am feeling awful. Who are you? Mm-hmm. I said, if it's not God, I don't want it. Mm-hmm. He disappeared. Mm-hmm. And then the Spirit of God came back. Mm-hmm. Now, I said to myself, suppose I had accepted it. Mm-hmm. You would have this with the big tent and the people falling down and the healings. And no God, another spirit would have taken the place where God should be. Do you understand what we're talking about, brethren? That the prophet can miss God. I give you another story. Jesus Christ would come into my room every day at 4:00. And he would speak to me till well after midnight. Show me the things of God. And I had this marvelous association. But I don't know better. I don't know that this is not the way God speaks to everybody. I think that when these ministers say, God says so, and God says, I say, boy, what have I been missing? You know, this kind of a relationship. So God is coming in and talking every day with me. All right. One day, some brethren came to me from Mandeville up the hill and said that God says to tell me that I must come with them to join the Bible school. I mean, I didn't bother to ask God. God says it, I do it. So I jump in whatever transportation and off I went with them to join the Bible school. Well, when I came back, I had to be hustling back now. I took the day off. I had to be hustling back to 4:00 to meet Jesus. When I burst the door open, I was a little late. and I saw a man standing in the sunlight. The bright afternoon sun. I don't know if sun is bright here like it is in Jamaica, but boy, bright afternoon, 4 o'clock sun, shining through the window. And he's standing in the window, and the back of his head, just a silhouette, a shadow. And I rush in to the room and said, "Jesus, I went to Bible school to join the Bible school today." And he didn't respond, but he began to turn around slowly. It was this way he was. Slowly. And when I felt the slow turn, a terror came over me. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. And when he looked at me, it was not the Jesus that I was used to, that sweet, calm in spirit. But his eyes were like two flames of fire. And I had to shelter myself from it. And I could only see the finger in my face. And he said, "If you go to Bible school, you will have rejected me as your teacher." I said, "Oh no, God." I fell on the floor before him. That was the end of that audition for the day. I began to worry, did I reject Jesus? But then I found out one great thing that I want to tell you, that to reject Jesus, you don't have to say, "I reject you." You can have all the intention to serve Jesus in all your mind, but if you do anything contrary to him, you reject him by your actions. Actions speak louder than words. So, to overcome, you must overcome your ancestral spirits. The ancestral spirits of lust, if you give way to it, it takes you more and more and more and more. And you'll come to a point where you have no more power, but it's the spirit that drives you. Now, I want to say this. I don't want us to go too late this evening, because I want us to come back early for the next meeting, and then we have to have dinner. But my goodness, we are going to enter into some doctrine now that is going to disturb some of you.
Good.
Where do these spirits come from? Remember, God never made anything bad. Everything that God made was good. The Bible said God is good. God is light. And in him there is no shadow of turning. Not even shadow in him. It's all light. Now, if God is light and God is good, and all things that were made was good, and there was not anything made that he did not make, where did devils come from? One thing we know, that they were not made. Right. He never made them devils.
No.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said fallen angel. Okay. But they are the big devils. Where do demons come from? Where the word demon comes from? Huh? Don't you see what I'm saying? You have fallen angels. We call them devils. Then now demons, who are littler spirits, smaller spirits. I've met foolish demons, stupid demons.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Amen.
A stupid demon one night jumped on my chest, but I was waiting for him to do that. I wanted to find out what he was made of. And I asked God. I said, "This thing is following me. I'm walking all night, coming home near morning, like 3 o'clock in the morning, coming through this wood, and this thing is following me." And I said, "God, let me feel him. I want to feel what this thing really is. If it is following me, then it is some form of substance. It is something that I would like to know. And God obliged me. So I went into my bed, quickly jumping, put on my pajamas, jumped into bed, and started snoring. Now, if he had any sense, he would have known that I was not sleeping. I began to, you know, when I go, he stopped. And I went on with that charade. It looked like eternity because I wonder if I'm going to keep it out, you know. And he came right at my bedside. And I knew, how I knew, it must be knowledge. The Lord gave me the knowledge. He's going to jump on me. He's going to stretch himself over me. He will not be able to strike me until he comes to my size. Amen. I don't know how I know that, but I knew that. So I was sleeping with my hands like this. Now, if that demon had any sense, you'd know that a man can't sleep with his hands like this. My hands are waiting to catch him. And I'm So he stood there until, whoops, landed right in my chest. When the thing landed on me, it was like a vibrating, like, you know, a cat, exactly like a cat. So he's vibrating and he's coming out. I feel him going down my legs. His feet is stretching himself on me. Good. And it's vibrating, and I'm there doing my best to snore, to keep up the snoring very, very real, you know. And I found out one thing. The first thing I learned was that he does not know what's in my mind. If it was a prince of devils, I would have a hard time deceiving him that way. But this old devil, he never knew what was after him. And so he came. And now when he touched my hands out here, I grab him in the name of Jesus. And when I grabbed him, it was like I grab a serpent, and I feel him wrenching in my hands, and I am struggling with him. Then I forgot. I mean, it's hard to struggle and yet be in the spirit. So I am struggling, and I start to struggle naturally because he started pushing me out back. And God, you know, God speak to me in the spirit. So I begin to bring up the cross. I think now of what Jesus told me about the cross and the blood that I saw. And so I will tell you again, brethren, please, for God's sake, go home, read that Bible over and over and over. Get the blood stationed in your mind. You don't worry about the heart. Get it in your mind. Then you start thinking and thinking about it. How could this be? And you get the resurrection straight. I'm sorry. Get the crucifixion straight. Get the whole blood business straight. By the time you're finished, it will be down in your heart. You will have your weapon in its sheath. You can pull it out anytime. If you don't have it, you have nothing to pull out. Don't tell me that when a demon attack you, blood. He knows better than that. And so I recall the cross. I recall the body I saw there. I recall the blood falling, coming down his armpit. I recall the blood flowing from his feet. I recall the blood coming out of his side. Hallelujah. And I start to win the battle again. Get him down until I got him down in here. And I lectured him. And I said, if you would jump on a million Christians, at the end of the day, you will be in hell burning forever and ever, and he couldn't take it. He slipped out of my hand, slipped into the corner of the room and cursed me. And when he cursed me, out of my mouth came his name. His name came out of my mouth, and that's the time it slipped out of my hand. And he started to curse me, and I knew the voice. I knew the voice, because I knew the man. Brethren, men become demons. If you watch the nature of a man will become a demon even before he dies. You see, you can become a demon before you die. If you cross a certain line with God, there is no more repentance for sin. There is no turning back. Judas became a demon before he died. That is why when he turned back and tried to repent, he could not find repentance. He had become a demon before he died, because he had crossed the line with God. Jesus gave him every opportunity to turn back, not to do the selling. The scripture would be written another way, but God had written it, that his bishopric shall be taken away, another shall take his place. Amen. And it so happens that men, if you ask any theologian, he'll tell you that demons are made by God. That demons are fallen angels. Now you tell me, brother, a fallen angel that never had a body, why should he be seeking to have your body to function in? Why should he be seeking to smoke and to drink and to hurl at himself? Why should he be seeking a body in which to express his demonic self? Don't you see something's wrong? And a fallen angel does not want your body. He's comfortable in his own spiritual body. The only person that wants the body of a person, of another human being, is someone who was a disembodied spirit. In the Bible, there's only one time that word is used. I think I'm on right grounds in saying so. I've never seen it a second time. That in Corinthians 5, it says that speaking of being naked, a naked spirit, he said it's a disembodied spirit. A spirit that once had a body and lost the body and is seeking a body to go into. Now, which would be the more I'm thinking the more apt and the more reasonable body to get into, but a body of one of your family. That is why family curse follows some of us, because we have received the spirits of the family. Now, if I were speaking to Africans, I wouldn't have to explain all this. I wouldn't have to explain all this. When a baby is born, the baby is supposed to be dedicated to a spirit, one of the familiar spirits. And they go through a ritual to choose a name for the child. And the child must be named to according to the spirit that is to take the child. Amen. And we had a very exciting experiment. Amen. This baby was born, and the elders of the city, we call them the chiefs, they come together with the parents, and we are going to have a day to name the baby. But the way we're doing it, we'll put out several things: salt, sugar, this, that, the other, that, put out several little things on the table. But each one represents a spirit. But they don't tell you that. Amen. So now they're going to have a lot. The spirits are vying for the child. They're going to have a lot cast, and then whichever God, they give the baby that name. All right. So we said to this young man, those who were in Jamaica, you remember that tall black fellow from Africa? Yes. He said to them, all right. He went to his family and he said, this is what they are doing. They want to give your child to a demon. I said, no. You're crazy. It couldn't be that. He said, all right. Let us do an experiment and prove it. Amen. They will give you instructions, explicit instructions as to where to put the sugar, where to put the salt, where to put the rice, where to put this, where to put that. Don't put it where they tell you to put it. Mismatch it up. And let us watch and see what happened. When they came, and they said, wait, where is the sugar? Oh, I forgot. You know, I forgot to put it there. Oh, is this here? Why is this here? And so on and so on. And they got so mad, they said, no, we won't do it at all. They walked. We said, there you are. They could not function because you resisted them. Brethren, let us not go on with that any further. You know the truth now, and the truth shall set you free. Look it up in your scriptures, and if you have questions, then you ask the questions. But let's go back. You therefore must overcome all the spirits of your father. Now I have to take myself. My family were a fighting family. People who were, you know, possessed with fighting demons. And the first thing I had to overcome was the temper, or else I could not preach. I could not preach. Now, when I got saved, it was so powerful. Talking with Jesus, get all this anointing. And I thought everything is gone. Brethren, I thought everything was gone. Now, I don't know if you have that problem as Christians, because some Christians come against me. They said, oh, what are you saying? That when I went to Calvary, I wasn't set free. You were set free. But God, there are certain things that you have to do. Exactly. God gives you the equipment to finish the job. When you said you were born again, you were not completed.
No.
You are an incomplete thing.
Right.
When God made Adam, Adam was not completed.
Right.
And that is the reason why Satan had some way. But to complete Adam, Adam would have to have the blood, the Holy Ghost, and Jesus Christ within him.
Amen.
Now we have the blood and the Holy Ghost. We do not have the fullness of Christ in us. What do I mean by the fullness of Christ? I mean that Christ has a fullness, a person, an individual being that wants to come to dwell in you, just like a demon spirit was dwelling in you. Jesus wants to be in the place to dwell in you, as his house. Do you understand what I'm saying? And God made you that way. That's the reason why demon spirits can take us, because God made you a vessel, and the vessel can be filled with something.
Right.
And so when the devil comes, he finds an open space, and Jesus said he go to and fro, seeking rest, finding none, turned back to his house and said, let me go back into my house. So you understand it now. All right, now, because therefore there is this possibility. Now Jesus has appointed a place in you to fill you. He gave you his blood, and the blood is supposed to cleanse the temple. in such a way that the temple will be pure, that the Holy Ghost, not only the Holy Ghost, but the Christ himself can come in. Amen. Now, when the Christ come in, you get the nature of Christ and you just be like Christ. But Christ has not yet be formed in you. You notice I'm quoting scriptures. Christ has not yet be formed in you. Something flashed before me. Have you ever read about the red heifer? You read about the red heifer. You ever wonder what the red heifer is? They would burn the red heifer. And they would take the ashes and sanctify the tabernacle. All right. Well, it is the blood that sanctifies. Now, Jesus Christ, he is so sanctify your inside, his blood. But he himself, his person, is not yet entered in. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you have his nature, you have his blood, and he wants to come in and dwell within you. And he said, I and the Father will come and make our abode in you, and then we will be a foursome. Man and God in one. Now, let's go on. Now, therefore, Jesus Christ, your salvation was not full. You must work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So the time is now that we are working it out. Now you must become overcomers. You have to overcome every single spirit. Every single spirit that you inherited from your parents. Until you be no longer an American. Until you no longer have German ancestry. Until you no longer have African ancestry. Until you no longer have any ancestry, but your ancestry coming directly from the line of Jesus Christ. So then, while some people are boasting of their heritage, you are giving up yours. So we find that the overcoming, that the first point of overcoming is to overcome yourself. The Lord says if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. You have to resist the devil that is in you, the devil that is in your flesh. When you get mad, it's the time to resist. Somebody provoke you and you feel the anger coming on. And you say, by God, the Bible said I shouldn't be angry. Where is this anger coming from? And you begin to talk to the anger and he gets a blow. He will leave you. He'll leave you. And so, praise be to God. We are going to stop here. But it seems to me that we might have to call this conference the Overcomers Conference. Because we haven't gone anywhere yet. In this word. You see, I'm only dealing with one part of overcoming. That is overcoming the ancestral spirits. You see. The things that you do, 95, maybe it's 99% of what we do is all spirit work. We are doing these things because of a spirit that is driving us. We are not doing it on our own volition. And the Christian, the Son of God, has not yet completely been cleansed, because if he were cleansed, the fullness of Christ would come in.
Hallelujah. That's right.
And this is what the bride has made herself ready.
Amen.
This is the readiness that God is asking you to do. Get rid of the ancestral spirits. God bless you.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. I think we'll pray.
Amen.
No question.
Okay. Follow the moderator here. We could leave the questions till later on, unless we don't want to deny anybody anything.
No.
What kind of question do you have?
So you have ancestral spirits, and
you know, I've been aware of that and working on those things for myself. But must my children do it for themselves? There's nothing I can do to help.
Oh, to help your children,
right, is, grown children,
is when you help yourself. If you hit that spirit hard enough, it drops off from them.
Even after they're grown. And
oh, yes.
Because I see them struggling with it big time.
Oh, yes. Well, they're grown. You hit the spirit hard enough, that spirit is finished. He can't bother them anymore. And more will come, and you hit them again and hit them, and you will continue until they are free.
Okay, praise God. Thank you.
You see, we'll have to go in it when you come back. The blood covenant, that you have a blood covenant with your children. It's not just that they are yours and they are one with you because, you know, no. It's a blood covenant. Now, a blood covenant cannot be broken except by death. Therefore, you can exercise your blood covenant with your children. Exercise it. That is, you stand upon your rights, that they must be delivered. And then God will let those spirits bother you. And when they hit you and you get upon them, the children will be released. The only way you can release them is to release yourself. Yes, brother.
Is that a familiar spirit?
Yes, a family spirit. Familia. Yes. It's a spirit from the family. Yes. Amen. Yes.
Does that also apply to a divorce, a split in the family with a husband and wife? If the man breaks the spirit that's in his life, does that fall automatically to the children, even though there has been a...
Yes, definitely. Sometimes the situation with divorce is really spirits. The spirits of divorce are now working in all the families. Mm-hmm. And you have to prevent a spirit of divorce from coming into your house. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because sometimes you would tend to blame your wife, but she can't help herself. You didn't break the power of the spirit. Mm-hmm. She might have the divorce spirit coming from her ancestry, and you have it from yours. Mm-hmm. And the two divorce spirits sandwich you in that family. And you have to, the man have to rise up. A strong man keep his house, mm-hmm. and you will rise up, and you'll see that woman come and repent before God. Yes, bring that thing. We'll take this as you as the last.
Oh. Let me ask you this: can a demon die? I mean, if a person whose spirit is trying to overtake you, is that person alive still?
It's a spirit. It's a demon. I don't want to say it's alive, because when you say alive, you mean living in Christ. They are dead. But the point is that they have the power to go to and fro through the earth. Mm-hmm. They are seeking rest and finding out. That's what we call hell. Mm-hmm. But they can be cast into the lake of fire. Mm-hmm. That's another hell. They can be cast into the abyss.
I mean, can we cast them into the...
Definitely.
Okay, that's...
They bother you too much, and you rise up in the spirit, you can command them, and the spirits of God arrest them and take them away. Mm-hmm. Yes. I've seen many happen before. We never heard of them again. Mm-hmm. Never heard of them.
Well, they fear the deep anyway.
So you're saying these spirits are dead?
They are.
They are.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You shared about being on the platform and having a confrontation with a spirit, and you called those people prophets. Would you could you draw the line or give us an example of how that prophet was not a prophet in error, but something else?
We have God giving the gift of prophecy to many people, and they were not evil people. They were real. They were really using the gift of God. But if you accept another gift, you reject the gift of God. I tell you what I've seen. I've seen men with the gift of healing. Pardon me. And they go out into a tent and began to call people, come, I'll heal you. And the moment they begin to do that, they begin to go against God, because God does not want to heal everybody. And when they can't get any healing, some of them make tricks. Yeah, I've seen some of them get people to come in wheelchair, all bandaged up, and then they jump out of the wheelchair and say they are healed. And I've seen men of God get microphone and attach a microphone in the ear, and somebody whisper to them, tell them the name of the person and what is his problem. And when the person comes into the meeting, they said, yes, the man in the red shirt. And it's called him out. Okay, brother, your name is so and so and so, and you are so and so, and you went to the doctor last week, and this doctor say you are so and so and this. And the man is, wow, man, this man is of God. Yes. Somebody has a bug in his ear telling him exactly what you told them at the gate. You see, and they lose. God withdraw from them. God withdraw from them, but then they still continue, and they will have more visions and more dreams, and they'll get more powerful, and more money, and so on. So I've seen it happen time and time again that they lose out with God.
Right.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I know. I just see your whole mind. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. It's terrible. There's somebody behind you.
I've already grabbed the mic.
Okay, sis. One question.
Only one.
So I get to pick. Okay, I'll make it simple since you're on this subject. What are the fallen angels doing in relationship to, in the Old Testament, where it says the sons of God married the angels or something?
No.
Daughters of men, that's it.
Angels are not sons of God.
Okay.
You know, and there's only one place in the scripture that God referred to the angelic host as sons of God, and it was before man was made. And he said, pardon me. But angels are not described as sons of God.
Okay, so the theology teaching the daughters of men and the sons of God.
The daughters of men are the sinners. The sons of God were those, the righteous generation that came down from Adam. If you look in the Bible tells you Adam right down to Noah were called the righteous people. And those people, specially appointed people of God, there was a separation between the godly people and the sinners. You see? And so the sons of God began to marry the daughters of men, because they lusted after them. They fell from their position. And if you notice, nothing was left of them except 8 people. Mm-hmm. Nothing was left of them. Only 8 were left. And those went into the ark.
Okay.
There was somebody. There's somebody here. Okay.
Same question, basically.
Oh, it was the same question. All right. Thank you. Praise God. We will end this session.
Let's stand and pray today.